English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2009, Advanced Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In Parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer according to what you have heard. Mark your answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear Part 1 twice. First, listen to it straight through. Welcome this morning. We are going to hear an interview with Bailey Zimmerman. She is a chemist who talks backwards.
What kind of job do you have, and what do your workmates think about you talking backwards?
As you already know, I'm a chemist, and I work for Boston Scientific. Many chemistry jobs, including mine, are in the pharmaceutical or medical field. Much of my job is reviewing other chemists' work and ensuring proper documentation. There are correct procedures to follow for every test, every trial. And yes, my colleagues think my special talent confirms me as a nerd, so they're not really interested in my talent. Every now and then, they say, "No kidding," and I answer back, "Ongnitic." Oh well, not every day.
And your talent landed you on the Oprah TV show. How was that?
It was pretty cool. She was taping her show down in Texas at the time. By the way, the name of her production company, Harpo, is simply Oprah, spelled backwards. I was brought out on stage right before my segment, and Oprah nodded hello. She asked me how I learned the talent and then had me say some nursery rhymes backwards. Then I was done.
How did you learn your talent?
I was so bored in third grade, I tried teaching myself to sing the alphabet song backwards. After that, I tried figuring out how to say different words backwards. I started doing it all the time. I just hid my face behind my book so the teacher wouldn't notice me. I was really trying to figure out palindromes, words that read the same forwards and backwards. Too bad I couldn't put all that mental energy to something useful. And my parents got tired of my talking back to them backwards all the time. But you know, Mom and Dad, one way, are still Mom and Dad the other way.
Now listen to the same discussion in three sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
What kind of job do you have, and what do your workmates think about you talking backwards?
As you already know, I'm a chemist, and I work for Boston Scientific. Many chemistry jobs, including mine, are in the pharmaceutical or medical field. Much of my job is reviewing other chemists' work and ensuring proper documentation. There are correct procedures to follow for every test, every trial. And yes, my colleagues think my special talent confirms me as a nerd. So they're not really interested in my talent. Every now and then, they say, "No kidding," and I answer back, "Ongnitic." Oh well, not every day.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at question 3.
And your talent landed you on the Oprah TV show. How was that?
It was pretty cool. She was taping her show down in Texas at the time. By the way, the name of her production company, Harpo, is simply Oprah, spelled backwards. I was brought out on stage right before my segment, and Oprah nodded hello. She asked me how I learned the talent and then had me say some nursery rhymes backwards. Then I was done.
Answer question 3, then look at questions 4 and 5.
How did you learn your talent?
I was so bored in third grade, I tried teaching myself to sing the alphabet song backwards. After that, I tried figuring out how to say different words backwards. I started doing it all the time. I just hid my face behind my book so the teacher wouldn't notice me. I was really trying to figure out palindromes, words that read the same forwards and backwards. Too bad I couldn't put all that mental energy to something useful. And my parents got tired of my talking back to them backwards all the time. But you know, Mom and Dad, one way, are still Mom and Dad the other way.
Answer questions 4 and 5. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through. This morning we will hear an interview with Tom Bentley. Tom Bentley is the former boss of the Labour Party think tank Demos. It was important in forming the political philosophy of the UK's new Labour policy under former Prime Minister Tony Blair in the 1990s.
Tom, could you tell me a bit about growing up in London?
Sure, glad to. I identify very strongly as a Londoner. I grew up in Tower Hamlets. My father was a clergyman and my mother a teacher. And they were very active and we were really involved in our community. I learned early on that opportunity dictates where you go in life. So my angle might be different from my parents, but I'm still doing something similar, bringing people together to affect social change.
And being a Londoner, why did you go out to Australia? Plenty of people want to know that one.
Yeah, I met my wife in London. Kylie's Aussie, and Kylie was there on a working holiday. She was the coordinator for a project for homeless young people. Our think tank, Demos, was partnering it. It wasn't love at first sight, but it developed steadily into mutual strong feelings. We got married 7 years ago in London. And then when I hit my 30s, I wanted to do something different with my life. While I was still in my 20s, I'd worked for the Home Secretary. It was a very intense and exciting environment. And during that time, Britain was reshaping its political landscape. And after that, I suppose I was supposed to go into politics or something. But I'm more interested in leading an interesting life. So the move to Australia was about deliberately placing myself in a different corner of the world, learning a new set of things from a new angle.
And what have you observed about Australia?
Well, apart from the outdoor opportunities, the enormous space, Australians have a different way of relating to people. Australian society is less complicated. It's less hung up, less concerned about manners and social hierarchies than we are in England. I really appreciate being in a more relaxed, more straightforward and more open, out there kind of society. Mind you, Australia does have unappealing elements. And one thing that surprised me is how conscious some people are of status. Who's going where and who's up and who's down. And like anywhere in the UK, they can be chauvinistic and aggressively patriotic. Australians are certainly quick to take pride in their country. They believe they have the best quality of life in the world and therefore the rest of the world can get lost.
Now that you've spent a few years in Australia, you've had time to think back to your work with new Labour policy. What have you learned?
That's difficult. We did a lot of good in the UK. Concrete good. The community programmes we put into place have helped many people to get a better life. But one specific area where they've broken down is in their ability to get a lot of people involved, or all sorts of people, right across all community groups. You see, there was a sense that if you shared responsibilities for decision-making across different communities, then you'd somehow find a way of drawing on the energy of all those communities out there. And that has not come about. Many community sector organisers have ended up feeling like they've been sitting on boards all day long, And on these boards, the inbuilt inequalities of power and money were too great for them to represent a genuine community perspective. They just felt overwhelmed.
And what have you learned from your involvement in community work in Australia?
Well, I have a story to finish with. It's about a car wash that I went to visit a few weeks ago in a public housing estate in Richmond. It was a governmentally funded project, and this car wash was a fantastic idea. It would give kids on the estate meaningful economic activity. And that car wash is currently unused. The hoses have been stolen, the kids have lost interest. It never took off because a government department had to bring in consultants to do a business case study for the car wash, and they never came. We've all probably heard similar stories too many times before. I'm not here to show disrespect for the government department involved. I'm just here to say that in our learning, we need to be more evolutionary, to learn from our errors.
Now listen to the same interview in five sections. Look at questions 6 and 7. This morning we will hear an interview with Tom Bentley. Tom Bentley is the former boss of the Labour Party think tank Demos. It was important in forming the political philosophy of the UK's new Labour policy under former Prime Minister Tony Blair in the 1990s.
Tom, could you tell me a bit about growing up in London?
Sure, glad to. I identify very strongly as a Londoner. I grew up in Tower Hamlets. My father was a clergyman and my mother a teacher. And they were very active and we were really involved in our community. I learned early on that opportunity dictates where you go in life. So my angle might be different from my parents, but I'm still doing something similar, bringing people together to affect social change.
Answer questions 6 and 7, then look at questions 8 and 9.
And being a Londoner, why did you go out to Australia? Plenty of people want to know that one.
Yeah, I met my wife in London. Kylie's Aussie, and Kylie was there on a working holiday. She was the coordinator for a project for homeless young people. Our think tank, Demos, was partnering it. It wasn't love at first sight, but it developed steadily into mutual strong feelings. We got married 7 years ago in London. And then when I hit my 30s, I wanted to do something different with my life. While I was still in my 20s, I'd worked for the Home Secretary. It was a very intense and exciting environment. And during that time, Britain was reshaping its political landscape. And after that, I suppose I was supposed to go into politics or something. But I'm more interested in leading an interesting life. So the move to Australia was about deliberately placing myself in a different corner of the world, learning a new set of things from a new angle.
Answer questions 8 and 9. Look at questions 10 and 11.
And what have you observed about Australia?
Well, apart from the outdoor opportunities, the enormous space, Australians have a different way of relating to people. Australian society is less complicated. It's less hung up, less concerned about manners and social hierarchies than we are in England. I really appreciate being in a more relaxed, more straightforward and more open, out there kind of society. Mind you, Australia does have unappealing elements. And one thing that surprised me is how conscious some people are of status. Who's going where and who's up and who's down. And like anywhere in the UK, they can be chauvinistic and aggressively patriotic. Australians are certainly quick to take pride in their country. They believe they have the best quality of life in the world and therefore the rest of the world can get lost.
Answer questions 10 and 11, then look at questions 12 and 13.
Now that you've spent a few years in Australia, you've had time to think back to your work with New Labour policy. What have you learned?
That's difficult. We did a lot of good in the UK. Concrete good. The community programmes we put into place have helped many people to get a better life. But one specific area where they've broken down is in their ability to get a lot of people involved, or all sorts of people, right across all community groups. You see, there was a sense that if you shared responsibilities for decision-making across different communities, then you'd somehow find a way of drawing on the energy of all those communities out there. And that has not come about. Many community sector organisers have ended up feeling like they've been sitting on boards all day long. And on these boards, the inbuilt inequalities of power and money were too great for them to represent a genuine community perspective. They just felt overwhelmed.
Answer questions 12 and 13. Look at questions 14 and 15.
And what have you learnt from your involvement in community work in Australia?
Well, I have a story to finish with. It's about a car wash that I went to visit a few weeks ago in a public housing estate in Richmond. It was a governmentally funded project, and this car wash was a fantastic idea. It would give kids on the estate meaningful economic activity. And that car wash is currently unused. The hoses have been stolen. The kids have lost interest. It never took off because a government department had to bring in consultants to do a business case study for the car wash, and they never came. We've all probably heard similar stories too many times before. I'm not here to show disrespect for the government department involved. I'm just here to say that in our learning, we need to be more evolutionary, to learn from our errors.
Answer questions 14 and 15. This is the third part of the test. In this part, you will hear 10 short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 16.
You know what irritates me about April?
Same thing that bothers me?
Yeah, William Gray comes out with his hurricane forecast for the next summer.
And everyone gets worked up, although last year he was completely off.
Last year he said 3 hurricanes would hit Florida, and none did.
And the previous year that none would land there, but 3 did.
But the newspapers give Gray's forecasts major coverage, and his computer simulation models are supposed to be the best.
I know.
Answer question 16. Look at question 17.
John, could you look at these brochures? We need to make up our minds about what to do next month.
Mary, why have you got all these travel brochures? Do you have itchy feet?
Well, maybe, but we really got to plan everything, or we won't get anything done. Not a thing. And I don't want to be stuck in the kitchen the whole month.
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
Everyone knows that a lot of Dutch people cycle.
Yeah, I know the stereotype.
And so they've got a problem with bikes being stolen. But a Dutch cyclists' lobby group plan to teach more people how to steal bikes. These lessons, which were conducted in the big cities, showed that bike owners became more security conscious after taking the lessons.
Well, that's a novel approach. Maybe somebody teach me how to hotwire cars.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
Did you hear what happened to James on his way to work yesterday?
Yes, terrible accident. Apparently, he's lucky to get away with only some scrapes and bruises.
That's right. After all, cycling is potentially very dangerous in London. You really need to keep your wits about you.
Answer question 19, look at question 20.
Did you see the demo yesterday by Jack Sauer?
Yes, I did. Really interesting.
Can you imagine a grandfather that concerned? Jack created a special computer program for his autistic grandson, Zachary.
It was great. Ordinary computer usage just offers autistic kids too many choices, causes many of them terrible frustration.
But this so-called Zach browser limits choices and is designed around the idea of promoting self-esteem.
And it seems to work. Zachary still gets aggressive with the TV, but not with the computer. And he can now start up the Zach browser on his own.
Answer question 20, then look at question 21.
Have you heard what's happening in lunch breaks?
No, what do you mean? Sex or something?
No. Britons are too busy these days to peel oranges in their lunch breaks.
And so
the sales of oranges are way down. People buy satsumas instead. They're much easier to peel, so they can be eaten quickly.
And correct me, but don't satsumas cost more?
Yes, that too.
Answer question 21. Look at question 22.
My son is upset because he doesn't have a date for the school dance next Friday. He's 11.
Yeah, the word on the street is that this dance is causing quite a lot of stress for the kids. They're all 11.
Am I alone in thinking that the idea of kids needing or wanting dates for an elementary school dance is absurd?
I know. The dance is in the school cafeteria in the middle of the day in February. It's a send-off for the kids heading to middle school. Nothing but going to middle school. I'm not sure how or why it has evolved into a must-have-date situation.
And my son's best friend has been in a major depression because he's in love with a girl and has asked her 7 times to go to the dance. She keeps turning him down.
This is more drama than you'll see on Days of Our Lives.
Answer question 22, then look at question 23.
Did you hear that the pop giants Coldplay have bought a £3,000 piano for a Gloucestershire primary school? It lost its musical instruments during last year's floods.
Why did they do that?
They saw TV pictures of the piano floating in the school's water-filled hall, along with all the other musical instruments. But, more importantly, Guy Berryman from Coldplay is a neighbour of one of the school's teaching support workers. That's how they heard about it.
Well, lucky school. Now, if they just do a concert at the school...
Answer question 23, look at question 24.
Do you know where Jane is? I haven't seen her in a couple of weeks. Could something be wrong with her?
I don't care where Jane is now. She's out of my hair, and that's all that matters. Her constant nagging and criticizing were not getting her anywhere. It was getting old.
I know. No one appreciated that. But I'm just a bit worried about her anyway.
Answer question 24, then look at question 25.
Did you hear that the police arrested a man who robbed a convenience store?
Yes, and I understand they are now holding him as a suspect in a number of local armed robberies.
He filled out a job application in the store to pass time until he and the clerk were alone. And then, after the last customer left, he went behind the counter, pressed a steak knife into the clerk's side, and made off with the contents of the till.
And he gave a fake address on the form. But his real name and his uncle's telephone number. So the police arrested him, actually fairly quickly.
Answer question 25. Thank you. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
The grocery chain Whole Foods Market Incorporated had to recall 48,000 pounds of possibly contaminated hamburger beef last week. It said it was checking all meat deliveries to ensure they were from meat processors and packers previously approved. Whole Foods is also requiring that meat processors guarantee in writing that they are testing for possible contamination by bacteria. The recall covered stores in many states, including Oklahoma, but not Kansas.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
The grocery chain Whole Foods Market Incorporated had to recall 48,000 pounds of possibly contaminated hamburger beef last week. It said it was checking all meat deliveries to ensure they were from meat processors and packers previously approved. Whole Foods is also requiring that meat processors guarantee in writing that they are testing for possible contamination by bacteria. The recall covered stores in many states, including Oklahoma, but not Kansas.
Read question B. Question B, listen to this section.
North York Moors is a national park in North Yorkshire. There was an uncontrolled 6-day blaze on the moor. The intense heat destroyed the entire blanket of peat which had accumulated over the area since farmers abandoned it 3,000 years ago. Unique rock art and clear Bronze Age field boundaries have emerged. That was all that was left of 2.5 square miles of the North York Moors National Park when fire crews and heavy rain finally swamped the area. The rock art list for the site has grown to almost 3 times its previous size, with more than 100 sets discovered since the fire. The removal of the entire plant and soil covering has revealed a set of defined borders to the areas which had been farmed in the Bronze Age. The fire was environmentally disastrous, but it gave access to a rare find.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
North York Moors is a national park in North Yorkshire. There was an uncontrolled 6-day blaze on the moor. The intense heat destroyed the entire blanket of peat which had accumulated over the area since farmers abandoned it 3,000 years ago. Unique rock art and clear Bronze Age field boundaries have emerged. That was all that was left of 2.5 square miles of the North York Moors National Park when fire crews and heavy rain finally swamped the area. The rock art list for the site has grown to almost 3 times its previous size, with more than 100 sets discovered since the fire. The removal of the entire plant and soil covering has revealed a set of defined borders to the areas which had been farmed in the Bronze Age. The fire was environmentally disastrous, but it gave access to a rare find.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
Tornadoes are well known for tearing things up. But as residents in Cheyenne begin to move on from last week's tornado, some reported they noticed a few bizarre things. Jason Aikens said the tornado unwound a roll of toilet paper right in the sink in his bathroom. The toilet paper didn't even rip. He also said that winds ripped away his roof, but a dish of cat food was actually still in the bowl. Some people say tornadoes have their own personalities.
Now listen to this again, and then answer the question.
Tornadoes are well known for tearing things up. But as residents in Cheyenne begin to move on from last week's tornado, some reported they noticed a few bizarre things. Jason Aikens said the tornado unwound a roll of toilet paper right in the sink in his bathroom. The toilet paper didn't even rip. He also said that winds ripped away his roof, but a dish of cat food was actually still in the bowl. Some people say tornadoes have their own personalities.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
Everyone knows how the English are about their lawns, all perfect, greener than green. And now in Canton, in Wales, they've come up with a new wrinkle. The local council has unanimously approved toughening the high grass and weeds law, making it possible for repeat violators to get jail time. If you are convicted of a high grass violation, the first time you are mailed a notice and given 5 days to mow the grass. High means over 8 inches. The second violation carries a fine of up to £250 and up to 30 days in jail. High grass is a health and safety issue, since overgrown lawns can attract rats, according to the health officials. There seems to be a problem in the town, but is this the way to go about taking care of it?
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Everyone knows how the English are about their lawns, all perfect, greener than green. And now in Canton, in Wales, they've come up with a new wrinkle. The local council has unanimously approved toughening the high grass and weeds law, making it possible for repeat violators to get jail time. If you are convicted of a high grass violation, the first time you are mailed a notice and given 5 days to mow the grass. High means over 8 inches. The second violation carries a fine of up to £250 and up to 30 days in jail. High grass is a health and safety issue, since overgrown lawns can attract rats, according to the health officials. There seems to be a problem in the town. Is this the way to go about taking care of it?
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
Traffic jams are rare in rural southern Missouri, but, well, a young male black bear climbed a tree next to a road near Advance, Missouri. Four officers from the Missouri Department of Conservation quickly arrived to make sure there was no contact between the bear and about 60 curious local residents. The local people had their trucks and pickups lined up on the side of the highway, blocking the road. Conservation Officer Ken West says the bear was chased off by the mother bear because she was preparing to breed again. When that happens, the young male has to go off on his own and search for new territory. Ken West advises residents to leave the young bear alone unless he begins to destroy property.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Traffic jams are rare in rural southern Missouri, but, well, a young male black bear climbed a tree next to a road near Advance, Missouri. Four officers from the Missouri Department of Conservation quickly arrived to make sure there was no contact between the bear and about 60 curious local residents. The local people had their trucks and pickups lined up on the side of the highway, blocking the road. Conservation Officer Ken West says the bear was chased off by the mother bear because she was preparing to breed again. When that happens, the young male has to go off on his own and search for new territory. Ken West advises residents to leave the young bear alone unless he begins to destroy property.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet, your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.